Being in Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn there, Ephesians 2, as we continue on the subject of Satan, this evening we're going to consider some of what the Word of God reveals concerning the nature of Satan. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines nature as being the essence, the essential qualities or attributes of a thing, which constitute it what it is. And Lord willing, in future lessons, we're also going to study His works and activities, but those are but the fruits of His nature. So in this study, we're really getting to the root of the matter. Satan does what he does because he is who he is. And look at Ephesians 2, familiar verses, and it's not my point right now to expound this. We've been teaching through Ephesians and we've covered this passage. I'm just going to show you a passage here where the word nature is used. The Word of God says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath He quickened. When we were lost, we were dead in sins, but in salvation, the Lord spiritually quickens us, makes us alive in Christ. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, how were we living in that condition? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And that's a course that has been set by the prince of this world, which as we've shown you is one of the titles of Satan. He's the prince of this world. He's the god of this world, the Bible says. Walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Isn't that a scary thought? Satan is a spiritual being, and he works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and Paul included himself in that, even though he was a very religious man before he was saved. As I've said many times, religious flesh is still corrupt flesh. Being religious doesn't make you right in the eyes of God. You need the righteousness of Christ. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation, that means our whole manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's how we were living. And why is that? And we're by nature. We live the way we live because of the nature, the human nature, the corrupt sin nature. He says, and we're by nature the children of wrath. That means as lost sinners, we were fitted for the wrath of God. That's what we deserved. And we are only saved by His grace and His mercy and His love. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The old human nature resembles that of Satan. And the new nature you get when you get saved is God's nature in you. The flesh versus the spirit. Jesus looked at some religious people who were lost and said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." And so there's a resemblance there between the children of the devil, how they act in their father, and then the children of God, we have God's nature. If we have God's nature in us, seems like we ought to live godly. You know what godly means? Like God. Now, there's only one true and living God, but He's in us by His Spirit, and we need to live godly lives. Worldly people, this is Satan's world. He's the prince of it and the god of it. So worldly people are living like the devil, really. But we as Christians, we ought to be living godly lives. And so he said, by nature. I mean, that's what the nature of something is, just what it is in its very essence. And so what a person does is the result of what they are. Okay? And so we got to get to the root of the matter. Why do people sin? Because they're sinners. Sins are the fruit. Sin in the heart is the root. And yet men blame their environment. They blame their circumstances for their actions. But the Lord Jesus taught that the root problem with man is not what's on the outside, but rather what's on the inside. He said, out of the heart of man proceeds. And he listed all kinds of sins. For an example, let me read Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse number 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." And that comes out of the heart of man. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. So because man then has a sinful nature, the Word of God declares, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, from our perspective, we say, you know, so-and-so is a good person, really. I mean, really, at their heart, they're a good person. That's from our perspective. But from God's perspective, He said, "There's none that doeth good." See, a lot of people don't even realize how awful sin is and the extent of it. If you think you can, you know, clean yourself up, you're very deceived. You need salvation, which is of God. You need to be regenerated by His Spirit. You cannot make the old, you can't improve the old nature. Let me show you something. Look over in Proverbs chapter 21. Here's an interesting verse. Everything a sinner does is tainted by sin. So even on your best day when you're trying your hardest, You're sinning because I guarantee you, you're proud of doing good. And that's the very root of sin, is pride. Did you know that when a sinner even plows his field, it's sin? Now, plowing a field isn't sin, but a sinner plowing his field is, because a lost sinner, he's not looking to God for the harvest. He thinks he's going to somehow produce it. And he's trusting in himself, and He has a wrong heart about it. So even the very plowing of the wicked, the Bible said, is sin. My point is, you cannot separate a sinner from his sin. It's in his very nature. It's what he is. Everything he does is tainted by it. Proverbs 21:4, "An high look and a proud heart." And there's a connection there with the countenance and the condition of the heart. Some people are so proud it's written on their face. You know what they say? We say they're stuck up. That means their nose is stuck up in the air. They're so high. They're so much higher than those around them, you know. "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Oh, a wicked man plowing his field is doing it in pride and in sin. I'm just saying it permeates everything. So there's no way you're going to clean yourself up, make yourself better. You need to be saved by God's power and be regenerated by His Spirit. The Bible said, do you think God was kidding when He said there's none that doeth good, no, not one? We have a hard time with that, but that is true. We're talking about things from God's perspective. Well, in contrast, all of God's works are good because He is good. I mean, everything a man does as a sinner, he's not good because of his wicked heart. But on the contrast, everything God does is good because that's who He is in His very nature. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 68. "You may not understand everything God does," which I would be kind of worried if I understood everything God did. Wouldn't that kind of make me His equal if I understood everything about Him? There's a lot I don't understand, but I know this. I know God is good. It's the very essence of His being. So if He is good, then I know everything He does is good. And then wicked man passes judgment on God and said, "What God did there was not good." What are you talking about? How can you pass judgment on God when you're a wicked sinner? You don't even know what good is. God is the authority for what's good. Look at Psalm 119, verse 68. "Thou art good." That's His person. So therefore, all of His works follow. "And doest good." Do you see how His works flow out of His character? He is good, therefore He does good. See, human nature is corrupt, therefore everything we do is tainted by that corruption. You say, was it possible for man to live good? Yeah, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in Christ Jesus. But who gets the glory for that? The Lord, right? Now, just talking about this issue of the nature of a thing, God's works are good because He is good, but all of Satan's works are evil because he is evil. And the Bible, all the way through the Scriptures, contrasts good and evil. Good and evil. You see that all the way through the Scripture. God is good. Satan is evil. And yet, Satan has a lot of people deceived into thinking that God is evil and he's good. That's why people call good evil and evil good, right? Because of their mindset is all messed up. They're deceived by the devil. And so just as God is absolutely pure, and there's not one blemish in Him, so Satan is absolutely corrupt, and there's not one ounce of purity in him. That's something to think about. Lucifer was created perfect, but iniquity was found in him, God said in Ezekiel 28. It was found in him. It originated in his own heart by his own choice. And the first sin that ever entered the first sin in this universe, the first sin from which comes all evil, was not drunkenness, although that's a sin. I don't think the devil's ever been drunk a day in his life, probably. See, people think they're pretty good because they don't drink and they don't smoke and they pick the things they're not doing to define themselves as being good. But I tell you something, when we live in pride, when we're self-dependent and we don't acknowledge God and we don't submit to God and we don't seek the will of God, when we're like Lucifer and we say, my will, we're as wicked as the devil. Because the first sin is pride. And that is the root and mother of all sin. Pride is what caused Lucifer to fall, right? Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 about the bishop. He said he gives the qualifications of a bishop. He said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And those that lift themselves up will be brought down. Pride goes before destruction every time. Okay? And so, Satan has the power, as we've seen, and I'm not going to review too much tonight because I want to cover some new ground. He has the power to transform himself into an angel of light. Remember that? 2 Corinthians 11:14? But the Bible reveals the truth about who he really is. He can appear as an angel of light, but he's anything but light. Look at Acts 26, please. Acts 26. He may appear as light, but that light is a deception. For in reality, he's full of darkness. He's associated with darkness. Now, in this Bible, there's a contrast all the way through between light and darkness, like good and evil. Good is associated with light, evil with darkness. So who do you think is light is associated with God and darkness is associated with Satan? We call him the Prince of Darkness. That exact title is not actually in the Scripture, but it's fitting because he has a kingdom, he is a prince, and he is all about darkness. And the darkness is referring to spiritually speaking. And, of course, there's physical darkness associated with, just like physical light's associated with God's spiritual light, and so on. But we're talking spiritually primarily here. Acts 26, Paul is recounting his conversion before King Agrippa. And let's just pick it up in verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way, he was on the way to Damascus to persecute the saints, you remember. What did he see? A light from heaven. Above the brightness of the sun. That's the glory of God. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Christ appeared to this man, and it said, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. This was totally off the prophetic script. God's wrath was what was due. Saul was a chief enemy of God, leading rebellion against him. And in amazing grace, he made this unprophesied appearance. He went off the prophetic script to reveal mystery truth that he kept hidden himself before the world began. And he chose this man to be a separate apostle to send to the Gentiles. He literally appeared to him, revealed the gospel, the grace of God to him, and then over the course of his ministry kept appearing to him. Okay? And Paul said he had an abundance of revelation. So the Lord appeared to this man literally. Okay? And by the way, Paul was the last one to see the Lord. So the next time you hear the preacher on TV talking about he saw the Lord, you know automatically he's lying. Paul said, last of all, he was seen of me. And so he said, look at what he says, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now look at this, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You see that? Darkness to light. Now watch it. And from the power of Satan unto God. Darkness to light, Satan unto God. You see that? How the devil's associated with darkness and God with light. And when Paul got saved, there was a literal bright above the sun, light from the glory of God, but yet even greater than that was that spiritual light that flooded his soul. And he quit trusting in his own righteousness and trusted in Christ. And so you see here the association, light and darkness, Satan and God. He said, to open their eyes, he sends them with this gospel message that we know in 2 Corinthians 4, when we believe the gospel, it's the gospel light. The light of God shines into our darkened hearts. And he says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And go over to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. So we're looking at this contrast here. God, the Bible says God is light. That's the essence of who He is. You could say it's His very nature that He is light. The Bible says He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So you could say, contrary-wise, that Satan is darkness and in Him is no light at all. He can appear as light, but it's false. It's deceptive. All right, so Colossians 1. Now I'm just giving you a few verses. There's a lot about this issue in the Bible. But Colossians 1, verse 12, Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. So we're not who we are by anything we've done. He made us. We're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's His work. He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I was a child of the devil. I was in darkness. Now I'm a child of God. I'm in the light. And I have this inheritance because He made me meet for that. It's His work. Look at what He did. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And that was Satan's domain. The power of darkness. Jesus said, in the context of His impending crucifixion, in Luke, I think it's chapter 22, He said, now is the power of darkness. The power of darkness. That has to do with the devil. He delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Well, that's the kingdom in the spiritual sense. You know, the kingdom of God has always been and always will be because God is an eternal king. He has an eternal spiritual kingdom. We know that kingdom will be put on the earth. It's called the kingdom of heaven. But you and I, the moment we're saved, we are translated spiritually into that kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, if you would, let's go to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. We won't flip around too much more, I don't think. This present evil world is very dark. I doubt you need to be reminded of that every week. I mean, if you have any sense, It's a wicked world. When I come to church, I want to get my heart and mind on a good God, not a wicked world. It doesn't surprise me. The news doesn't surprise me. What do we expect sinners to do? They sin, okay? And so I hate it. I don't like it. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, as the song says. But I'm not shocked that the Bible told me wicked men and seducers would wax worse and worse. That means they would grow worse and worse. So the reason for that is because it's in darkness. And Satan, who has the power of darkness, he's the god of this world. But you and I who are saved are in the light. Paul said, you are in the light. He said, walk as children of light. So that's the difference between standing and state. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who are in the light but acting like they're still in darkness because they're not walking by the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're in the light. We need to walk in the light, and we need to shine as light. The darker the world gets, the brighter our light should shine. And, you know, complaining about wicked people doing wickedly doesn't change anything. Paul said, you live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what he told the Philippians. And so what did he say about it? He said, go about and try to change it. You can't change it. He said, what you need to do is shine as light and hold forth the word of life. And just try to get people saved out of it, you know, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this thing of light versus darkness, it shows up so much in the Scripture. And right here in the very first chapter, we see it. Let's look at a couple things here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't know when that was. It was some time ago. All right? What happened? Remember, we've looked at this. Lucifer fell. There was a judgment associated with that, and that's verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. That's not how God created it. It became that way through judgment. And darkness, there it is. Darkness always associated with evil in the Bible. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the deep is also associated with judgment in the Bible. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. You see that theme of division in the Scripture. The very Bible itself must be rightly divided. And you know what else? It will rightly divide you. The Bible said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know what the Bible will do? It will divide people between the believer and the unbeliever, right? I mean, you can cause a division in the crowd. You get up and preach the book between the ones who believe and the ones that don't. So he said he divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. That's interesting that it's capitalized. The darkness he called night. That's interesting. It's capitalized. The evening and the morning were the first day. Now, have you ever thought about the fact that the sun was not made until the fourth day? So, what is this light? The first day, he said, let there be light. There was light. And we come to the fourth day later in the chapter, and he makes the sun, which is the greater light to rule the day. Well, he said the greater light to rule the day, but here on the first day, he said, let there be light, and the evening and the morning were the first day? Well, I know how it's going to wind up in the end. You know how it's going to wind up in the end? You know what the main source of light is going to be in this universe? Jesus Christ. That's how bright His glory is. That New Jerusalem, which is a huge city, will be lit up by the glory of God. 1,500 miles square. I take it literally. That's the brightness. It was so bright it blinded Paul. He just got a little glimpse of it. Just blinded him. If it wasn't for supernatural healing, he wouldn't have had his sight. God restored his sight. with this issue of the light of God, and there's a physical light associated with the spiritual light. And he said, let there be light. Now, I'm not going to stay in Genesis, but let me give you a couple of references. There's a lot on this, but Psalm 104, let me just read it. Psalm 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. I personally believe that this light is coming from God Himself. He said, let there be light. There had been judgment. He had withdrawn Himself, so to speak. But He's going to do a work of recreation in the 6 days. So He says, let there be light. And His light lit things up. Just like in the end, when there's a new heaven and new earth, we know how He will light things up as far as His glory is concerned. And when you think about that, think of the fact that Malachi, for an example, calls Jesus Christ the Son of Righteousness. S-U-N. Son of Righteousness. And think about the fact that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's God. God is light. Right? Apostle John said, this is the message we heard of Him. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. They're only, if you go back to the Gospels and read what Jesus said to His disciples, the only thing He could be referring to is when Christ said, I am the light of the world. I am the light. John said, God is light. And so, notice here in these verses we just read that God's very careful to say, God saw the light, verse 4, that it was good. You notice He doesn't call darkness good. Everything else pretty much He calls good. There's only two things He doesn't call good in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to the end of the chapter. He does not call darkness. He's very careful to say the light was good, not darkness. But let's read on. Let's notice another thing. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament, in other words, an expanse, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters. Here's the division again. Which were under the firmament, for the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. Now, that, I don't believe that's referring to the third heaven where God's throne is. In the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and earth, but after recreation, there's now three heavens. Because by the time His work is done, you come to chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens, plural, and the earth were finished. And then Paul later says, I was called up to the third heaven. So the heaven is that open expanse between the waters, and there's a great deep dividing the third heaven from the second heaven. And so, but did you notice it says, God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Why didn't He call it good? I mean, everything else, you go through the passage, everything He makes, He calls good. He does not call heaven good. In Job 15, verse 15, it says the heavens are not clean in His sight. Why? Because Satan's the prince and power of the air. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember, the primary domain of Satan, the Bible talks about he's finally cast out of heaven in Revelation 12 in the midst of the tribulation. And it says when he's cast out, him and his angels, their place was found no more in heaven. The body of Christ will take their place. And that's one of the reasons why Satan hates us so bad. There's a number of reasons, but that's certainly a big part of it. And so, we see God making these divisions. And you see the thing about light and darkness here in these verses we just read? That's all the way through. God doesn't mix things and act like there's gray areas. And see, that's the popular philosophy now is, oh, there's no absolute. God is a God of absolutes. You don't mix light and darkness. 2 Corinthians 6, what communion hath light with darkness? There is no communion. They're totally different. You can't mix light and darkness. And so Satan's associated with darkness, God with light. Now, look down in verse 16 of chapter 1. This is very important to understand. Look at verse 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. Now we know what that pictures. That's clear in the Scripture. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. And He is going to rule the day of the Lord. When He comes, the Son of Righteousness arises with healings in His wings. Malachi 4, verse 2. He is the greater light. He's going to rule the day. But look at this. And the lesser light to rule the night. And by the way, I've always loved how this verse ends. He made the stars also. You remember not long ago I preached on some things about the stars. And you think about how amazing and the power of God to breathe these stars out and uphold them and to do what He did. And man can't even number the stars that He made. And they're all different. And He named them all and He upholds them all. And that's just like a little postscript for God. Like, oh yeah, I made the stars also. Big deal. What if you put that on your resume? You listed your accomplishments and now at the bottom you put, oh yeah, I made the stars also. I mean, that tells you how great He is. Always keep in mind that though Satan is powerful, we looked at that last week, he's Leviathan. Lay your hand on him, remember the battle, and do no more. You don't want to mess with him in your own strength. He's a powerful creature. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And Satan is in the world. He's the prince of it. And Jesus Christ is the greater light. I believe Satan is pictured by the lesser light to rule the night. And I know people say, well, the church is a type of the moon is the type of the church and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that's not the case, but I definitely believe there's an application here. Because when you think about two things, I don't have time to get into this very deep, but just two things on the surface. When you look up there in the night sky, you say, boy, the moon is so bright tonight. Boy, look at the light of the moon. There's no such thing as the light of the moon. The moon is dead. It has no light. It is a deception. It appears as light, but it is not light. And it rules the night. Satan's the power of darkness. So you have a contrast between the true Christ and the false Christ all the way through the Scriptures. So what I'm saying to you is this. God is light. That's His nature. That's who He is. And so everything He says is true. But the devil is a liar. He tells lies, but the deceiving thing is he can make it sound true. There's no way you can discern who he really is and what his lies are if you don't know the truth of God. The devil doesn't come to people and say, I'm Satan, I hate you, I want you to go to hell forever, I want to destroy you. That's not. No, he appears very smooth and very, very bright and he deceives people into following him against God. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He doesn't appear as what he really is. Now, all that being said, let's go to finish tonight to John 8. Because some of this we're going to develop a lot more in the course of the next several lessons. I'm just kind of laying some groundwork here. What are some of the fruits then of Satan's evil nature? We know that he is darkness. We know that he is evil. So everything he does is going to be rooted in that. And so it shouldn't surprise us when we read in the Scripture and find out he's an adversary. He's a slanderer. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's a tempter. He's all of these things the Bible reveals about him. And we're going to consider how he works and what he does in more detail as we go. But I'm just showing you tonight that it's all rooted in who he is. If you'll just get that concept. I know it's basic, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the basic things. Look, trust God, okay? Always trust God because He is good. He can only do good even if you don't think it's good. He's good. Trust God. And the devil, never believe the devil. Never let him tempt you to question the Word of God because he may seem right. You may even feel good about what you're believing, but if it goes contrary to the Word of God, the devil's always wrong. Okay? You've got to keep the heart of this in mind at all times. in John chapter 8. I would love to read this whole chapter. I won't do that. I'll just read a few verses. But keep in mind that Jesus is dealing with religious people who were trusting in their own righteousness. They were lost. And Jesus knew their heart, and they knew they wanted to kill Him. And when He brings that up, they said, "You have a devil." That's what you call a slander. They said, "We be not born of fornication." They were accusing Him of being born of fornication. They said, "You have a devil." Who are they acting like? Their father. And anytime you go about slandering others, even if you're saved, you're acting like the devil. That's the devil's work. We've got to be careful not to do such things. And they wanted to kill Him. And that was because Satan was filling their heart with this envy and this hatred. And they said, we're not trying to kill you. But you know what they did? If you read the whole chapter, by the end of it, they literally tried to kill Him. Just like He said, He knew their heart. And they wind up crucifying Him. But of course, He allowed that to happen because it was His plan and purpose. But just jump right in here. He's been talking about how He's the truth. His Word is truth. He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He's talking about His truth. He's speaking the truth to them, but they can't receive it because they're so blinded by the devil. And the truth is plain, by the way. God's truth is plain, but you can preach God's truth plainly and people sit there and it take no effect, there's nothing in them to receive it. They're just in darkness and blinded. Throughout this passage, He said, "You can't hear My word." He said, "My word has no place in you." He said, "You cannot hear My word." He said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God." And there are people out there, they're so quick to believe a man, but they will not believe God. Why in the world would you trust a man when he's a liar? Why wouldn't you trust God who cannot lie? I like how in Titus chapter 1, Paul quotes a prophet from the island of Crete who said of his own people, they are alway liars, evil beasts and slow bellies. And Paul said, that witness is true. He didn't say, "Now you don't be hateful. Not allowed to say anything negative, you know." Well, we ought to be negative about what God's negative about, okay, and positive about what He's positive. Paul said, that witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Now, but in contrast, you know, Paul's trying to encourage Titus. He's on this island where the people are known for their lies, and all mankind tells lies. But the point is this, he opens the letter by saying, "In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie." He cannot lie because His very nature is truth. Do you understand? He is truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Therefore, everything He says is true. Well, if the devil is a liar in his very nature, he tells lies. And the deceiving thing is his lies sometimes sound true. And that would happen in the garden? Right? And he didn't begin with the lie. He just got them questioning God. And as soon as they began to question God, then he brought the lie and set them up. And they fell hook, line, and sinker. And so the devil knows what he's doing. And we're going to look at how he works because, you know what, he's been doing the same thing for a long time. And he doesn't have to change his tactics too much because they've been working for so long. Now, he does adjust his work depending on what God's doing. But there's some basic things about the devil that he's done from the beginning that he continues to do. But all that being said, let me get here to verse number 43. Jesus said, "Why do you not understand My speech?" I mean, it wasn't like He was... the Bible said the common man heard Him gladly. You read the sermons of Christ recorded in the Scripture, they're as plain as the nose on your face. There's nothing hard to understand about, "Ye vipers, you serpents, how shall you escape the damnation of hell?" Said, who said that? Jesus Christ, lowly Jesus, sweet Jesus, said that in Matthew 23, verse 33. And by the way, He called them serpents because they are of their father, the devil, who is the serpent. He's very plain, but they couldn't receive it because they're in darkness and He's light. And why do they hate Christ? Because Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that light hurts. It exposes. Just like when you, and I don't want to be gross here, but if you got roaches in your kitchen or something, and I hope you don't, but if you do, when you turn the lights on, they don't hang around. They're creatures of the night, you know, or darkness. They don't like to be exposed. And that's just like this Bible. You get into a crowd of sinners, you can just walk up like this with a Bible and people get nervous. All of a sudden I've done that on occasion, and it's amazing how people can just all of a sudden things, it's like putting a wet blanket on everything, you know. You walk up and say, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, get out of here." The old trick about if you don't want anybody sitting next to you on the airplane, which is kind of hard these days because sometimes you're so full you got no choice. But just sit the Bible in the seat next to you. And people do whatever they can not to have to sit in that seat. But at any rate, let me read the verse here. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Do you see that? How much truth is in the devil? No truth. Okay? This is not difficult. But why do people keep believing the devil? Because they're deceived. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Jesus said, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." How about that? Isn't that amazing? And even today, a lot of religious people won't receive the plain Word of God. They're blinded by tradition. They're blinded by preference. They're blinded by opinion. They're blinded by the devil's philosophy. They're blinded by a lot of things. We need to receive the plain truth of God. But it shouldn't surprise you if you try to witness to somebody and they don't immediately respond because they're in darkness. It's a spiritual battle. You just need to pray for them and keep giving them the gospel. And what a blessing it is to see people come out of darkness into the light. But the point here is, he said he's a murderer and he's a liar. So those are just two of many things about who the devil is. And by the way, there's no record of the devil committing murder with his own hands. But you know what? 1 John says, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. And he said, Cain murdered Abel because he was of that wicked one. 1 John 3, I think it's verse 12. Cain was of the wicked one, so he did the lust of his father. So Satan doesn't have to kill people. He uses people to do his work. You want to know why Cain murdered Abel? It was Satan's work. It had to do with Satan trying to keep that promised seed of Genesis 3:15 from coming into the world. It was a deeper thing than just brotherly envy. It was spiritual, satanic hatred and darkness. And this issue of the lie. I mean, good night. You go back to the Garden of Eden. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." And listen, is that what he said? He said, "Ye shall not surely die." God said, "The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Well, who told the truth? Has mankind been better off for taking the fruit? By one man, sin into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so the devil is real. He works, and he works through people. And he's the spirit of disobedience. He's the prince of power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. And you gotta just know these basic things about light versus darkness, good versus evil. It's about the nature of who the devil is. So no matter how he tries to dress it up and make it appear something else, he's wicked, he's evil, he's darkness. Don't be deceived. All right? Our Father,